Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat
Shalom. I have my watch with me. Feels like we never went from here, from last night. So I went to bed around 2. So it was long picnic yesterday. But it was so good to have fellowship and joy together, joy in the Lord. So today is a very special Shabbat, and I'm really enjoying this Torah portion about Joseph. It's so deep, so meaningful, so many good things there. So I would like to ask you to read with me scriptures and to follow me. And as usual I do, if you will hear strange ideas, it means my English not there. Idea is normal. So let's go together. So first I would like to speak about, Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is the 8th day Jewish celebration, commemorates the rededication during the 2nd century BC of the second temple in Jerusalem, where Jews had risen up against the Greek-Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean revolt. This is the days of Hanukkah. We remember these days and we celebrate these days. Hanukkah from the Hebrew means dedication. Dedication. Let's say together, dedication. In English, it's easier than Hebrew, yeah? Dedication. So actually, in this world already, so much meaning here. Dedication. We need to dedicate our hearts to the Lord. Everything we have to the Lord. Our hearts, our life, everything inside of us for the Lord. It's interesting because when the temple was restored, the Jews rededicated it to God, a temple to the Lord. They did this by lighting the lamp, the menorah, which was a symbol of God's presence. And this is why we are lighting the lights every day for 8 days. Only one small jar of kosher oil with the stamp of the high priest was found, enough to keep the candles burning for only 1 day. And this was very serious because they had a choice, because war was outside of Jerusalem, it was not the end yet, but they decided to start ministry to the Lord immediately. After they rededicated the temple, they decided to start service in the temple. And the main part of service is the menorah, light of the Lord. So they found only one jar of oil, enough only for 1 day. But can you imagine here? They had to choose what to do, or to wait for 8 more days, or to burn menorah immediately. So they decided to serve the Lord immediately. And when they made step to the Lord, He did miracle for them. The menorah had the amazing miracle. It was burning for 8 days instead of 1. So it was enough to prepare more oil for menorah in future. This is why we are lighting the candles for 8 days, because we remember the miracle from the Lord. The Lord multiplied the oil in menorah, so high priest can serve there for all days. So good, so good. Also, we still observe the holy day of Hanukkah today, and also this feast called Festival of Lights. By lighting 8 Hanukkiah candles representing the 8 miraculous days during the time. So the full story of Hanukkah can be found in the books of Maccabees, and I encourage you to read, because so many good things there. Really, so many good things, encouragement for us. And I would like to make a comparison between the story of Hanukkah and the story of Joseph, because these two stories go together for me. Story of Joseph and story of Hanukkah. One of the most important lessons we can learn from Hanukkah, the most important lesson, is to never give up. And I would like to ask you, can you repeat with me? Never give up. You know, so many people gave up one step from victory. They are fighting for so long and they were tired. And they're almost there. So never give up. This is the story of Hanukkah. Never give up. The Maccabees did not surrender to their circumstances. Their faith was proactive, and as a result, they became winners. Now we know about Maccabees. We have great holiday because of their faith, because they did not give up. They continue to win for the Lord. Everything around them appears hopeless. A history of defeats pointed towards a future of defeats, because everything was destruction around them. Yet they found the strength to believe in God and to act in faith. They found the strength in the Lord. Unfortunately, very often people perceive trust in God as something passive, something that we will just wait for it in hope. Maybe something will happen, something will change. Maybe the Lord will do something for us. And of course, sometimes we have situations when we should wait and pray to not do nothing. But most biblical personalities, do you remember Esther? Of course we remember it. We know them personally, no? We read about them. Moses, Elijah, and more, all of them have demonstrated their faith through prayer accompanied by actions. Actions is faith. Not by simply sitting and waiting for the Lord to do something for them, but prayer and go forward in trust to the Lord. And do you remember this very famous passage from the scripture, James chapter 2, verse 26? I like it so much. For just as the body without the spirit is, three people knows about it. We need to know this. For just as the body without the spirit is dead. I mean, not much body can do without spirit. What do you think? We need to be alive. Alive in our lives. Alive in spirit. Alive in our works. So also faith without works is dead. Without works is dead. So Maccabees, they decided to be alive, to fight, to believe, to trust, to go forward with faith. And they win. They won. The Maccabees set a goal to rebuild the temple and win their freedom in order to continue serving God. This was their goal, to serve to the Lord, to rebuild the temple, to restore the temple. The Lord and His word held first place in their priorities. It was first in their life. So the Almighty God Himself gave them victory after victory, even in the most incredible circumstances. It was a miracle. If you read the book of Maccabees, you can find so many victories, miracles, because the Lord was there. Why? Because they were with the Lord together. It's so beautiful picture here. The battle cry of the Maccabees was, who remember? Mikamocha Ba'elim Adonai. And I believe it was not like this. Mikamocha Ba'elim Adonai. It was the battle cry. Mikamocha Ba'elim Adonai. And with this battle cry, they've run with victory. And the Lord was with them. It was a miracle. The Syrians, they were afraid of Maccabees because they call them Maccabees. You know why? Because from the Hebrew, it means hammer or hammer. Not the car, but... different hammer. Because victory after victory, with the cry of the Lord, Mikamocha Ba'elim Adonai, who is like you, the God among other gods. You are the Lord. You are only Lord. And He was with them. It's a beautiful picture here. Every person, sooner or later, faces difficult tests in his life. Some people just give up because they're tired, they're afraid, or past experience, and it's understandable, it's difficult. Some people allow mistakes and defeats of the past to hang over them like a cloud everywhere. All the defeats, all the memories is there, shaping their response to adversities of the future. But there is a better way to live, always in the Lord, the better way to live. And Joseph is a great example for all of us here. He faced incredible adversity for much of his life, but he did not yield to disappointment or despair. He continued in faith until his last days. He did not give up. He did not submit to the trials he faced. He did not die in bitterness. He had more than enough opportunities to be bitter, but he decided to go forward with the Lord. And he won his victory, his battle. Joseph suffered injustice beginning from an early age, from his childhood. As a lad, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And I like to make a joke here. It was very strong brotherly love. They sold him to slavery, not because of brotherly love, but it was very hard. You know, there's one idea about why he was sold. And I want to share with you my opinion about it, why he was sold. It is obvious for me or to me that the scriptures say that Joseph was sold into slavery because he was more trustworthy than his father when everybody else. And his father puts his trust in him. He was trustworthy. He was obedient to father. He loves father, loved father. He was gifted, and the Lord used him to show the future of their family. He was simple. He was open-hearted. He saw the dream, and he shared this dream with brothers and father. If he would be sneaky, he would not share this dream. But he opened his heart. He was pure and feared God and obeyed his father. So I believe, it's my opinion, this was one of the reasons why his brothers were jealous of him and hated him. Because he was light. He was pure. And if we read the scriptures, we can see he was pure throughout all his life. And this is why Joseph is the picture of future Messiah Yeshua. Prophetic picture of Yeshua. You couldn't find any word in the scriptures against Joseph. And you know, our Messiah has two names, son of Joseph and son of David. Beautiful. Because as an older man, he refused to sin with Potiphar's wife, he spent years in prison for his righteousness, for his righteousness. Throughout Joseph's entire life, his actions demonstrated that he was a righteous man and filled with the fear of God and with the Spirit of God through all his life. And I would like to read one place of scripture about Joseph and about his response, how the Lord gave victory to him. And I would like to you open with me Genesis chapter 40, and let's read from the verse 1 together. It's a beautiful story, beautiful example for all of us, beautiful example. And I believe we should try to be as a Joseph, to take examples and apply it in our lives too. So from the verse 40, here's Joseph in prison. And why he's in prison? Maybe he killed someone, or what happened there? Because of his righteousness. He was pure. I think he understand from the beginning, if he will say no to Potiphar's wife, he will have problems, troubles. Because it was Potiphar's wife, his master's wife. And of course, husband, he's for his wife. So for his righteousness, Joseph in prison now, for nothing, for good things. So here's in, he's in prison. Now it was after these things that the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. King of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, with the chief of the cupbearers and with the chief of the bakers. So he put them in custody of the house of the commander of the bodyguards in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. The commander of the bodyguards assigned Joseph to be with them and served them as their personal servant. They were in custody for some time. So can you imagine Joseph in this hall, in the prison, in dark place of his life? And he, now he's servant to these people. I mean, can you imagine his situation? It was really tough and difficult, I think. It's my understanding of here. So let's read verse 5. Then the two of them each dreamed a dream on the same night. The dream of each man, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each had its own interpretation. Then Joseph came to them in the morning. He observed them, and there they were, looking miserable. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were with him in the custody of the house of his master, saying, why are your faces so sad today? I like this, his question. Why are your faces so sad today? I mean, we will came here. They said to him, we dreamed a dream and there is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, don't interpretations belong to God? Please tell me. So we know what's happened next because we read the scriptures, we can find next chapters. Joseph heard the dreams and gave an interpretation which soon came true. And because of it, he was invited to Pharaoh's house after some time, years, and he was lifted up in whole Egypt. He was the second after Pharaoh because of his gifts. But, you know, what's interesting here? What's the point? Verse 6. I like it. I like it so much. Joseph observed them, and there they were looking miserable. And verse 7 in the end. Why are your faces so sad today? So here's the Joseph. He was unfairly sold into slavery. He was put in the prison for his righteousness. He is a slave for these masters. Maybe somebody would say, I don't care what face you have here. I have so many problems. I don't need to see your faces. Why? Because how difficult it is to deal with the grief of other people when your own life is falling apart. So, but Joseph, he was so humble. He saw their faces. He was ready to minister to them in the prison, in the low point of his life. He had a servant heart. And he used the gifts of the Lord to serve to these two people, cupbearer and baker. It's so great story here. How humble he was. How humble he was. And you know what? Because of his humbleness, because he was ready to use the spiritual gifts, the Lord lifted him up. This was the moment for him. So beautiful, yeah. So, few simple facts. First, Joseph feared God and was righteous. Second, he was humble and obedient. And he served with his gifts in all circumstances of life. It was his decision. He decided to go and serve the Lord. He decided to not stay in bitterness, do not receive bitterness inside of him. So he find a way in the Lord to serve the people around him. He served to his father, The same way he served to Potiphar, the same way he served to prisoners. He was everywhere, he was the same. He was the servant of the Lord. Wherever life's circumstances led Joseph, he remained close to God, and he always thought of how to serve the needs of others. This was this Joseph. This is who he is. And it was that focus on serving others that gave him the strength to live a life of victory. So I would like to ask you, please imagine, what would be happen if Joseph allowed bitterness or disbelief in his heart, and simply he decided to not pay attention to these faces, to these people? What would happen with Joseph? What do you think? He would die in prison. We would never read about him. Never read about him. But he decided to walk with the Lord. Victory after victory. Do not submit himself to bitterness. The Maccabees did not surrender to disappointment, to bad experience, and to fear. In proactive faith, they assailed the foe, and they were victorious. The same way Joseph made a decision to continue to love God and serve the people around him, to be a blessing to others, no matter what obstacles he was facing. And he also was victorious. Amen. And you know the simple law and simple observation from my life, and probably you know the same. The one who thinks himself always the victim, always disappointed, always dissatisfied, allowing former wounds to shape his decisions and actions, that one will remain the victim for all his life. Always helpless against more disappointment, more dissatisfaction, more wounding. But life does not need to be that way. The Lord gave us victory. We have victory through Yeshua. Amen. Even in our past life is full of, if our past life is full of bitter disappointments and difficulties, we have the power and strength from the Lord to go forward in faith. And the famous words from the scriptures, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is promised to us. Please hold this place of scripture. I like this so much. And the faith that pleases the Lord, faith in action, serving others, loving people. The Lord has given us gifts and expects us to use them in service to other people around us. He expects us to serve Him. And this is the question from me to you. If you are having difficulties today and all your experience is saying to you that nothing, no way out, so please do not despair. Do not allow bitterness to come into your heart. This is not the time for bitterness. This is time to fight, to stand, to pray, to serve. This is our spiritual war. More you have opposition from our enemy, it means you need to stand up. This is the time to serve. Actually, it's easy when you serve others. Sometimes when you feel bad, but serve others who in biggest needs, you feel yourself better. Why? Because the Lord can minister through you. His Spirit is flowing through you. And it works. Always works. Continue to serve people around you and use your gifts. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe you are serving your cupbearers right now in this moment. And this will lead you to your own freedom. Who knows? Maybe using your gifts right now to this person who will be answered for your prayers. You know, we can sit and wait for miracle from somewhere. Okay, it's not for small story. One man, he's drawing and praying, Lord, please help, save me, you know. And one man in the boat came to him and just come into boat. He said, no, Lord will save me. Go away. Lord, please save me. Second boat came. Third boat came. Recently, he drowned and he stood before the Lord and said, Lord, why? I'm praying to you. Why don't you save me? The Lord told him, I sent three boats to you. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? How can I serve others? How can I apply my faith? And the story of Joseph, it's example for us. He was able to see faces of people around him. He was not paying attention for his problems, but he was serving to others. Beautiful. Please remember, the Lord is waiting for you action, for your action to be able to glorify himself in your victory. So when you're using his gifts, he is giving your victory. He's beautiful. He's waiting for you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes our opportunity is waiting for us, for you, in very unexpected places in your life. When you don't expect, but you're ready, you can find your answer. You can find your solution. You can find your opportunity. Amen. I know in my life so many times the Lord, he changed my life. He was able to change me in very unexpected places in my life. And I remember all of them. I will not share with you because some of them very unexpected. But it's so good when he's entering our life. And the last thing I would also, I'm sorry, I would like to read Romans chapter 8 because this is one of the best places in the scripture to describe my idea. The verse 28, Romans chapter 8. And this is a statement from Rabbi Shaul. Great statement for all of us. Now we know that all things... I would like to ask you, I don't know English so well, what does it mean, all things? Are you sure? Thank you, now I know. May I write here? So everything. All things works together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This is the life of Joseph. This is the life of Joseph. All things working together for good for those who love God. It doesn't say about people who hate God or who turn away from God. I don't know. It's hopeless. If you are during the difficult times turning away from the Lord, who can help you? Who can come to you? If Yeshua is not in your boat, what can you do? But if you love God, if you are continue to pursue him, he is in your boat. And if Yeshua is in your boat, I will say you, everything will be okay. Everything. Everything. And the last thing I would like to share today, for us as a Messianic believers, Hanukkah is a special and important holiday because our Messiah Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah and he revealed himself during the days of Hanukkah. He revealed himself. And I want to read John chapter 10 from the verse 22. And maybe for somebody it's a surprise because this is the scriptures. And I want to read from the Jewish scriptures here. From the verse 22, Yohanan or John, chapter 10. Then came Hanukkah. In some translation, is the feast of dedication. Yeah, or but here's the feast of dedication. It's Hanukkah. Then came Hanukkah. It was winter in Jerusalem. Yeshua was walking in the temple around Solomon's colonnade. The Judean leaders surrounded him, saying, "How long will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us outright." It's the best time to ask these questions. Because menorah it's light there, everywhere. Whole Jerusalem was in the light of menorah. In every house it was menorahs, Hanukkiahs. And now they ask him, "If you are the Messiah, tell us now. We want to hear from you. We are looking for somebody." Yeshua answered them, I told you. So many times parents using this, I told you. but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify concerning me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And the verse 30, I and the Father are one. He revealed himself on Hanukkah. He told them straight, I am a Father one. This was the time of anticipation, time of spiritual hunger. People were looking for the Messiah, for the Redeemer. They were looking for somebody who are Messiah. In fact, they expected a new Maccabee. They expected the person who will free Judea from Rome by the power of sword and make Jerusalem the capital of the earth. This was their expectation. Because of their limited understanding, they were not willing to accept the truth, and they did not embrace his answer, I and the Father are one. On the feast of Hanukkah, he revealed himself as the Lord, who came in the flesh, to bring them redemption and freedom. This is the during time of Hanukkah. He revealed himself. First time he came as the suffering Messiah, son of Joseph, who paid the price of our redemption. And the second time he will come as a son of David, the King of Kings, the righteous judge. Hallelujah. First time he came as a suffering Messiah. Second time he will come as a judge, as a righteous judge. Now are the days of Hanukkah. And this is a special time, time to embrace the truth, to light menorahs not only on our tables, but also inside of our hearts. Menorahs of truth, light the light of candles inside of us, light of the Holy Spirit, light of truth. This is the time to embrace truth. Embrace scriptures, embrace Torah. If you don't know the true light of this world, Messiah Yeshua, which means salvation from Hebrew, this is the greatest time to open your eyes, to believe the Torah, to receive God's Messiah. I want to stop here and I want to pray for all of us. We need boldness to fulfill the will of the Lord. We need wisdom to open our hearts to see other people around us. We need to look for Holy Spirit in our life, His light, His wisdom. We need Him so much, so badly. We need Him. And if you're here for first time and never accepted Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, this is time for you. Hanukkah is the best time for you. Remember, light of the truth. Bible is true. And Yeshua died for you. And He risen. He's alive. He is all-powerful. And He is the Father, our one. And no way to Father without Him. So I would like to pray. Prayer of acceptance. And if you don't know the Lord yet, please pray with me. Give your life to the Lord. Open your heart before Him. I want to pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, and I ask you, please forgive me. Forgive all my sins and my iniquities. Cleanse me, Lord. Beshem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you for a great sacrifice for me. Thank you, Yeshua, for your death and your resurrection for me. Thank you for your Spirit, Holy Spirit. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. And please fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you. Help me to love you. I want to know you. I want to have fellowship with you. and I want to dedicate my life to you. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. And let's say together, Amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord for these days of Hanukkah. Let's close our service with Aaronic benediction and let's open our hearts for this benediction.
Everybody standing with someone. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and in this season envelop you in the warmth of his peace. Yerechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai Adonai Panavilecha Vayasem Lecha Shalom. God bless you.